Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Voice of Indie. Your hosts today are Beam Weeks, author, producer, and marketing monster for independent multimedia publisher Fresh Ink Group, and Stephen Gies, author, producer, composer, and publisher for Fresh Ink Group.
Good evening, everybody, and happy spring. This is the first show of the spring we're doing, so happy spring to everybody. Welcome to the Voice of Indie podcast. I am your host, Beam Weeks, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Stephen Gies. How are you doing tonight, Stephen?
Oh, I'm just thrilled and delighted to be here. It's sunny Alabama, where it hit 76 degrees today, and all my flowers is a-blooming.
Lucky you. Fortunate for you. We got stuff blooming now. It's starting to come, or sprouting, I should say. It's not blooming, sprouting. Although we got one that's close to blooming. But we're not warm quite. We're not steadily warm that much. So we got to wait.
Tomorrow I'm taking one of my keyboards up to Nashville, which means that it's going to be severe thunderstorms and potential tornadoes all the way from Alabama to Tennessee and back tomorrow. So, hey, I'm just thrilled to be out there on the road.
Just keep your head down.
So, listeners, if you are anywhere near the Twitter machine, throw us a tweet and put hashtag Fresh Ink Group anywhere in the body of the tweet. We're over here monitoring Twitter, and we will see your tweet, and odds are we will probably read your tweet on the air. Maybe a question for today's guest or a comment or threats, who knows, whatever it is that you want to put out there, hashtag Fresh Ink Group.
Yeah, and if you don't want to do the Twitter sphere, you can call up and we'll take your call on the air. That number is 516-453-9902. Once again, that is 516-453-9902, and you can become famous.
Now, today's show, like all of our shows, will be available anytime from now to the end of time and then for 10 years past the end of time. And if you want to hear this show, spread the word, tell other people about it. You can find it in the Fresh Ink Group channel over on YouTube. That's the Fresh Ink Group channel, where we have just a whole bunch of subscribers, and we're hoping we get a couple of more this week. You can also find it at freshinkgroup.com under the podcast tab and each of your hosts' websites, beamweeks.com and stephengies.com. Plus, there's another place.
Yes, we are also on Spotify. Ba-na-na-na. So just go over to Spotify if you have a Spotify account. Doesn't matter if it's the free one or the premium one. Just type in Voice of Indie and all one word, Voice of Indie, and boom, you got access to every episode we've done so far, which is, after tonight, 34.
34. Episodes.
Yeah.
Man, I fell asleep somewhere around show 5, and all the rest of them, I don't remember. Something going on here.
Yeah, they just fly by.
Now, today's guest is a writer and apparently a bioengineer called Evan Whitmer. Evan Whitmer is the sole writer and webmaster for oddfiction.com, where he posts free short stories. Can't beat a deal like that. At the end of each year, he takes down the last 10 stories he wrote and self-publishes them online, containing the 10 stories within a surreal framing device. Pages from the Pizza Crows has a crow deliver him the stories in exchange for pizza slices. Well, that seems like a fair deal to me. Digest, 10 short stories by convicted and plausible people eaters, has each short story authored by a different known cannibal. His next collection is How to Burn This Book, which includes a brief reason to burn each of the short stories inside. That's due out January 8th, 2022. Oh, he's got a date. His work sauna, as they call it, is a master's of bioengineering, who does tech transfer for the University of Buffalo, but this is simply a means of supporting the laissez-faire lifestyle of your typical late millennial. He is an uncharacteristically optimistic 27-year-old who fought his way out of a massive depression 3 years ago using Prozac and mood stabilizers. He has been using his new outlook on life to focus on what's important, spending time with his cat and writing really weird short stories. Boy, he sounds like our kind of guy, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He is tall and quirky. He collects beer labels in his free time. He relates more to the works of MC Ride and Tarantino than to most other modern authors. He is trying to lose 40 pounds. Welcome to the show, Evan.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's great to be here.
Yeah, well, definitely welcome. Did he touch everything on your bio? You want to add anything?
I didn't touch a thing.
How about we start? Where are you from?
So I'm originally from Reading, Pennsylvania. Specifically, it's called Sinking Spring. It's a little suburb. I kind of just grew up a very normal suburban kid. I played football. Just kind of pretty average guy. I went to college at Penn State, and afterwards I got my master's in bioengineering. I just kind of stuck around. I've been working for Penn State for a while, but I recently just got a new job at University of Buffalo. So for the first time in my life, I'm going to be ditching Pennsylvania and becoming a New Yorker. So that'll be weird.
Wow. So what will you be doing in Buffalo?
It's called tech transfer. So basically I'm going to be, I look at all the technologies at the University of Buffalo that the inventors are creating, and I try to determine if there's any market value for them.
See, I think when you go to Buffalo, what you're really going to be doing is shoveling snow.
Or eating wings.
Or eating wings.
Oh.
Or shoveling snow and eating wings. Yeah.
So that's where you've been all of your 27 long years, Evan, is Pennsylvania, and now you're New York, never lived anywhere else?
No, that's it. I'm a Northeastern. I guess I'm stuck here.
So you said it's suburban. What was it? Sunken Spring? Sinking Spring? Something like that?
Yeah, Sinking Springs. Yeah.
Sinking Springs. Well, it just sounds like a lovely place. So that was regular neighborhood streets, houses next to each other, backyards, fenced in backyards, and the whole shebang?
Exactly. Yeah, very suburban.
Public school?
Public school. I liked it, honestly.
Yeah. Stephen had touched on the collecting beer labels. What's that about?
So I guess I started to kind of, we were talking about this a little before the show, just how much we both kind of like craft beer. And I kind of wanted a way that I could somehow collect some of this beer. But I didn't really want to do the cans, because it's just too much space, and overall,
I did that. I did the cans when I was a kid. I didn't drink the beer when I was a kid, but I collected the cans, just as many different ones as I could. But yeah, you're right. They take up space. I had to keep them in the basement. Then after a while, I had to get rid of them.
That's cool though. That I've never actually met anyone doing something similar. So that's really cool. I keep mine in scrapbooks. And so far it's been pretty efficient. They only take up about one row on a bookshelf.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, my collection is 17,000 Budweiser labels. I'm still working on it.
So these are all the craft beers you've sampled?
Yeah, and sometimes I'll even throw in a couple just like a Budweiser, essentially. As long as it has a label, some of them are just a tin can.
Okay, that's cool.
So in public school, what clique were you in? Were you one of the jocks, one of the music heads, one of the long hairs, one of the freaks, one of the druggies, one of the snitches? What were you in high school?
Rappy.
I'd say I was one of the master of none, kind of. I really, I kind of was a drifter around all the different groups. I never really got, like, I was on the football team, but I was third string. I'd be in the musicals, but I'd be an extra. So it's like that kind of thing.
You were that guy. Yeah, I remember that guy. Kind of in the background there.
So the guy on the train and the music man.
Yeah. Just kind of in the background. So what other hobbies do you have besides the beer labels? Hobbies, interests?
You know, it's I do love to watch old 80s movies. That's kind of something cool.
Cool. Yeah, I'm old enough to have seen all those old 80s movies at the theaters when they first came out.
Oh, yeah. Do you have a favorite?
Well, my all-time favorite movie is not an 80s movie. It's Pulp Fiction. But out of the 80s, probably The Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah. That's really
good. But there's a lot more that I can't think of off the top of my head, although I do have a list here because we are going to do a top 15 or 20 favorite movies episode on here one of these days. And I already put my list together.
Oh, nice.
So do you have a favorite 80s movie?
I think I'm going to go with I really like Evil Dead. That one's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, yeah, going for the horrors and all that. Yeah. Nightmare on Elm Street, the first one. That was a good one.
Awful.
And then any of the Hellraiser movies.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them all. I did a big marathon the other night.
Yeah. I've got them on DVD.
Nice.
Yeah, a friend of mine did the music for the Evil Dead movies. I remember when he was working on those. Joseph Loduca. He went on and won several Emmys for doing TV series, like the TV show Leverage. He did all the music for that.
One of my favorite shows.
Yeah, that was a fun show.
Yeah, I remember you talking about him some years ago. All right, so... Steven, you got questions for him?
Well, you want to run a commercial?
We can do that.
We can do that.
All righty.
How about this?
Fresh Ink Group presents Slivers of Life by Beam Weeks, a collection of short stories. A girl's hunger won't wait. A woman scorned takes matters into her own hands. Seeking peace by any means necessary. We pay attention when big events happen all at once, but everyday life comes at us in slivers. Two boys, a girl, and secrets in the woods. Young love falls short of the dream. When the monster is someone we know. Secrets from the past. Mirror the tragedies of today, and a young man searches for his lost faith. Slivers of Life, a collection of short stories by Beam Weeks. Read Slivers of Life in print or ebook editions, including iBook, Kindle, Nook, and more. Slivers of Life is proudly published by Fresh Ink Group.
All right. I've read that book. That's a pretty good book.
I liked it too. And I liked the video. That commercial that you heard is from the actual video, which includes animation and other fun stuff. And it's over in that Fresh Ink Group channel on YouTube. Make sure you get over there, watch it, hit that little thumbs up, tell both of your friends about it, and then go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
Now, Beam, we've got some people over on Twitter. We've got Bernard Fung has put a couple of tweets about his books up there. Bernard Fung is going to be our guest on next week's show. We got Robert Williscroft saying it snowed in Denver today. Ah, Robert, my hibiscus bloomed today. We got Verwayne Greenho saying it was almost a decent day here in the UP. And then Marlena Smith, she says, nice to meet you, Evan.
All right.
Robert Williscroft is singing 99 beer labels on the wall. and he asserts 80s movies are not old.
I agree 100%. because then that would make me old, and they're not. When
yeah.
I think of old movies, I like the 30s, and I'm a Cagney fan, so those are the old movies.
And then Marlena Smith comes back and says, 80s movies are the best. The Breakfast Club and Ferris Bueller are among my favorites. Definitely a fan of the slasher films, too. Ferris Bueller, what a great movie. And that film is noteworthy, too, for having that little thing on the end where Matthew Broderick comes back out.
Yeah.
Comes out, and he kind of sticks his head out and looks at you, and it's like, what are you still doing here? Go home. Go home.
Interesting thing here is we got a theater over in next town over in Charlotte that it's theater that was built back in the 30s. And they're showing Ferris Bueller's Day Off on the big screen this week. So
wow,
that's kind of cool. We do have a phone call, so you guys want to take the caller?
Evan.
Yeah,
Somebody wants to talk to you.
All right, here we go. Hello, caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
This is David, and I'm calling from Fort Collins.
Hello, David. Welcome to the show.
Hi, David.
Do you have a question or a comment for our guest?
I do. It sounds like Evan's got some pretty interesting themes around his stories, and I wanted to know what does he do to manifest that inspiration? What's his go-to tactics for that?
Good question.
He said he switched jobs. Which former coworker does he miss the most?
That's a tricky question.
Evan, we warned you about former coworkers calling in.
You're right. I mean, to answer the first question, a lot of my inspiration, I tend to spark it with a nice cup of coffee. Very early in the morning is when I do most of my writing. I have to work most mornings. So I guess over the weekend, Saturday, Sundays, I think that prime area is between 8 a.m. and noon. Just drink a bunch of coffee and just kind of chug through it. Sometimes I'll also put on some nice, weird rap music, and sometimes that sparks something. Definitely music and coffee, I say.
Wow. Okay. Now, his second question, which of your former coworkers do you miss the most?
It's probably it's Cheryl.
Cheryl's pretty cool.
I'm kidding, Dave. It's you, Dave.
I don't even know you, Dave, and I miss you.
I miss you guys, too.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for calling, Dave.
Dave's not here. Okay. So, All right. Now I just kind of lost. Going back to your bio, I wanted to touch on this. You're a Tarantino fan. Are we talking Quentin?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, cool. I'm a huge Tarantino fan. Pulp Fiction, like I said, that's my all-time favorite movie. But I'll watch anything that he does. He's just got that. He's got some quirkiness and just some cool stuff.
For sure. I really think you're right with Pulp Fiction. I think that's my favorite, too. Maybe behind that is Django. I really like Django.
That was a good one, too, yeah. Yeah. All right.
What do you think of his latest?
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
So,
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that one?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, it was pretty
good.
That's
one that I'll probably end up renting and streaming it, so.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
All right, now the caller there, he had asked about your writing process and whatnot. And, like, with the story ideas, where do they come from?
Right. I feel like a lot of them have different origins, but I think a lot of them are just kind of me playing with reality. Oftentimes, I'll just kind of think something is I'll watch a whole series on a certain genre, like a Western movie, and I'll just immediately in my head, I'll be like, how can I dissect this? Like, what makes the Western work, and how can I kind of, I don't know, hack it almost to, like, be kind of strange and weird? So I just kind of look at things that are kind of normal, and I think, how can I make this as odd as possible?
That's a cool approach. I kind of have that similar approach. I take an everyday normal life, everyday event, and then try to add some kind of twist to it that, you know, what the hell is that kind of a situation.
Exactly.
Those are some of my favorite stories to read. That's what they're like.
Absolutely.
So are you working from home these days, or do you commute into an office, or what's your day look like?
I'm working from home. Yeah, I've been working from home. I guess it's been about a year now. I can't believe it.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are working from home nowadays. I know I do.
Yeah.
Sounds like somebody's eating some snacks on there. Who's snacking?
So what's the cat's name?
Orga.
Orga?
Orga.
Yeah. Orga, yeah.
Is there a story behind that?
It's kind of a movie fan. One of the movie franchises I really like is the Godzilla movies. And he has this big opponent called Orga. And he eats everything. And my cat kind of has a ravenous appetite. So I'm like, he's Orga.
That'll work. We do have another caller. You guys want to take another call?
It's probably Orga, knows how to use a phone.
All right, here we go. Hey, come on, stand again. Hello, caller. You're on the air. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hello, it's Orga from Running, Exeter, Pennsylvania.
Hi, Orga.
it's Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hey, Dan.
So
how are you?
Do you have a question or a comment for Evan?
Yes, I do. Yes. Evan, I'm curious, what made you decide to stick with short stories versus going for a long story? And just tell us a little bit about that, if you could.
Sure, absolutely. So actually, my first attempt at writing was a long story. It was literally called Long Stories. And I tried to shop it around, and I just didn't really have that much success in traditional publishing. So at the same time, I have like a ton of ideas, like just tons and tons of concepts. And I figured, you know, instead of trying to slowly go one after another, write a novel, why don't I take some of these, like, I wouldn't say lower tier concepts, but ones that I only want to stretch out just a little bit and just write a bunch of short stories instead. So I kind of just really liked the first collection I came up with. And I had the idea that I could just make these ridiculous framing devices for the short stories, and that just kind of came something I wanted to stick with.
Cool. So what's the fan reaction been?
I'd say fairly well. I've gotten a few video reviews, and they all seem to be pretty into the weirdness of it. I've been called the weirdest book that they've ever read multiple times. I think the only real negatives I've gotten are, sometimes the violence. Sometimes there's a little bit of a graphicness. I think that kind of comes from, like, we were talking about Tarantino and stuff, and I can't help but kind of add in that kind of dark grittiness sometimes. It's just something that interests me.
Cool. Does that answer your question, Dan?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thanks, Dan.
Yep. All right. Cool.
So I'm over on Amazon looking at Digest, 10 Short Stories by Convicted and Plausible People Eaters, and I'm seeing that it's independently published. Are both of your books independently published, and you're planning to follow the same route for your third one?
The first two are. I am actually giving it a shot and seeing if I can get this third one. Kind of now that I have a proof of concept with the first two, I want to see if somebody wants to pick up the third one. And I don't know. I've been putting it out there for agents, and who knows? Maybe one will get back to me.
Yeah, that's a tough field, shopping agents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't go that route. I didn't go that route myself. But, everybody's got to try to hew down their own path. We do have another comment on Twitter. This is from a question. Dr. Helen Burrell, she says, Evan, how does bioengineering inform your fiction writing?
That's actually a really good question. I think that I think it actually does kind of – it got me into paying attention to detail a lot because I've been kind of reading a lot of academic papers. They're very wordy. They go into heavy description. And very often I'll try to use language from academic papers in my writing, mainly because they just kind of use words that a lot of people don't use. And, you know, does it sound a little pretentious? Yeah, a little bit. But it's always interesting kind of throw a word at the reader that they're not really used to. And so, yeah, I think that academic papers are a great way to inspire language.
Yeah, throw the words out. Yeah, then you're like, yeah, I had to use a dictionary to understand some of these words. I got that a lot for my novel Jazz Baby because it's set in 1925 and the lingo and the dialect back then was different. So I got a lot of, yeah, I had to go to the dictionary to find out what you were saying here.
Oh, man, where did you, how did you kind of figure out how the language was back then?
Oh, it's research. And there's actually resources that you can use that'll give you what the lingo was back in the day that people have actually, I can't think of the author right offhand, but there's a woman author. She put together one and I've got it on my Kindle now, but I didn't have that when I was writing that, but I got it just in case because I'm looking at a possible sequel eventually. But yeah, I was just going online and digging around and okay, what would they say, you know, for this back in the day? Cause a lot of that stuff is modern language that we use today. And just a lot of research, digging around.
Excellent. Yeah, I feel that.
Time machine helps too, but I'm not supposed to talk about that.
Yeah, we can't mention that.
So we've also
wanting... Go ahead.
We've also got another question on Twitter. This one's from Verwayne Greenhoe. He says, Evan, of your published works, which do you consider your best?
I'm going to have to go with Digest. I think that one thing I got a lot better in the sequel essentially here is that the characters I think are a lot more vibrant. I think that with the first book, it was more about just taking 10 concepts that were floating around my head and fleshing them out. But when you kind of focus entirely on the concept, the characters can sometimes become just kind of tools for just pushing that concept along. I think definitely in Digest, I really create characters that are lovable or they have interesting dialogue, or just a lot more thought out, you know. It's not just a way to talk about the premise.
So, like, basically characters that are real.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah, those are the best kind, that you can believe that this character exists somewhere in the world.
Exactly.
Beam, you want to pick up Marlena's comment?
Sure. Yeah, Marlena Smith on Twitter, she said, I like the idea of weird writing and also how you mentioned taking a normal story and seeing how you can change it. There's so many ideas that are often overdone. It's nice to see such a unique approach. I agree.
I definitely agree.
Thanks, Marlena. So, Stephen, you want to hit another commercial?
I think it's about time.
All right. This one is for a short story collection called Comes This Time to Float.
Ooh, I've read that one. Prepare to think as you explore these 19 short stories by author, composer, and producer Stephen Gies. Avoiding any single genre, this collection showcases Gies' storytelling from literary to Southern Gothic to coming of age, allegory, humor, and even fantasy, all finessed to say something about who we are and what we seek. Some of these tales have been passed around for years, others so virgin they have never known the seductive gaze of a reader's eyes. Now, you can go digital, Kindle, Nook, Kobo, iTunes, Google Play, and more, or you can keep it soft with a paperback to whip out in mixed company. Or you can really show off. Be the envy of your crowd with a dust jacket and hardcover. Fresh Ink Group is where it's coming from. Amazon and the rest are where it's at. Just point and click, and you too can feel the electric surge of the latest from Stephen G's. So when life's currents get to pulling too hard, don't fight it. Just open the book and discover 19 new ways of going with the flow. Because now, more than ever, comes this time to float.
Yeah, and I've read this one, and I can attest that this is well worth your time to read. Excellent stories all the way through from a master storyteller. And I don't just say that because he's on the show with me. That's the truth.
We had a lot of fun making that video, which also you can find over on YouTube in the Fresh Ink Group channel. Comes this time to float. Go check that video out. Make sure you hit the thumbs up and put cash in an envelope and mail it directly to us.
All right. Stephen, you want to take the next question?
How long have you been seriously writing, Evan? Is this, you've been real serious about this from the time you were a kid, or is it only recently that you've decided that maybe this is more than just a lark?
I think it's actually more recent. I'd say only about maybe 2 or 3 years ago, I'd say, is when I actually started to kind of give it a shot. Before that, it was all just, I just had the concepts of the premises, and I would write them down in a Google Drive, and I'd never touch them again. So one day I got fed up, and I said, let's start to make some actual things out of this.
Yeah, they don't write themselves. I've learned that.
Yeah. So do you have, like, a set time each day that you write, or do you even write every day, or is it just when you feel like it? What's your process like? What's a week's worth of writing from Evan Whitmer look like?
I think he touched on that with one of the callers. Talked about writing in the morning.
Oh yeah, definitely in the morning.
But, I mean, is it always, like, in a set place? You got a certain window you look out? Do you go outside?
I try to go outside for sure when it's not so cold out. But lately it's been really nice and warm, so I've actually been able to get outside, and that definitely gets the juices flowing.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your website. This is kind of interesting with the short stories.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of – before I even wanted to self-publish at all, I think that was my main idea, was just start a blog. I will admit that the blog was started by an ex-girlfriend, and it was supposed to be a birthday gift. But I kind of stuck with it, and, you know, I've made it my own. It just has some weird origins, that's all. But in the end, I update it essentially – I'd say about once a month I put a new story on there. And like we said in the beginning of the show, at the end of the year, I take 10 down and I put them on. I try to make a little bit of money off them.
So when you say it was a birthday gift, you created it for her and you just never gave it to her? Or she created
it for you and you kept it?
No,
she created it for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't give it back either.
So what's her phone number? Let's see if we can get her on the line.
All right. Let's move on to the Pizza Crows.
Pages from the Pizza Crows.
What's it about?
So it is about essentially a writer. He's kind of a young guy. He basically has some stuff stolen from his window by a crow, and he realizes that when the crow steals things, it brings back gifts in exchange. I've kind of figured that was kind of a real experience that a lot of people that have crows as pets will explain, essentially, that their crows will give them gifts. So in this case, the guy finds out he can kind of tune the gifts that he gets by giving the crow different items. And so once he figures out that if he gives the crow a slice of pizza to eat, it'll actually bring a page from a short story. He starts feeding it all this pizza in order to get, basically short stories that he then uses to sell. Yeah, it has a couple twists and a couple weird turns, but that's basically the gist.
So where did that idea come from?
So it actually was originally a children's story. Before I tried traditional writing, I think I had an idea for a couple children's books. But I think my idea was kind of just that it was a very marketable field. A lot of people when I was younger, I mean, I was only maybe like 21 at the time. People were just telling me how, oh, there's money in children's books. And I had this one idea about essentially a man that befriends a crow and it gives him poems. But I never used it. And I think when I got older and I really wanted something to connect all my short stories together, I was just digging through some old files and boom, I'm like, oh, why don't we resurrect this old children's book and give it a weird, dark twist?
Yeah, that definitely sounds interesting. It's the pizza angle. I mean, where did that come from? Were you eating pizza while writing it?
Probably. That 40 pounds we mentioned earlier in the show, that's where that came from.
Ah, okay.
Might have been some of those beer labels, too.
Probably combo both.
So what are some of the titles in that collection? Can you
think
of some?
Yeah, Captured by Animals is one that I really like. It's about a bear that becomes sentient after eating garbage out of a frat dumpster. And then he starts writing romance novels.
A bear, huh?
A bear,
wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually when that happens, they write thrillers. Romance, huh?
That's a good point. Maybe it should have been thrillers.
Yeah. Okay, what about some other titles?
I know we got, let's see here, Bedfellows. That's essentially about a couple that if they fall asleep at the same time, they always end up in the same bed together. Which sounds romantic, but they broke up years ago. So it just becomes this awful tale of these two ex-lovers cursed to end up in the same bed together every night. And, yeah, it's kind of a nightmare.
Yeah. So you got some little bit of humor in there along with these twists?
Sure.
All right. That's
yeah.
What it sounds like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so what's the story on the cover?
So I will admit, you know, I just kind of had limited resources, kind of just doing the independent publishing. And I guess a little piece of me really liked that I had access to, I think it's Adobe. Gosh, I forget which one it is. It's one of the Adobe programs. And I just kind of wanted to fool around with it and see what I could make. And before I knew it, I figured out that I could take a silhouette of a crow and put it on top of a silhouette of a pizza and make it look like this crow was holding a piece of pizza. And I was like, you know what? That's pretty good. And then suddenly I figured out by random chance that I could put polka dots in the background. And I was like, you know what? This is eye popping. I think it's weird. And the whole book is weird. So why not just have a weird cover too?
Well, you can't argue with the logic.
Yeah. Okay, so over on Twitter, Marlena Smith has a question. She says, Evan, is there another genre or style of book you are tempted to try outside what your normal is?
So to speak, normal.
Yeah.
Twisted
I think,
normal.
I think sci-fi I really want to give a shot to, but I'm saving it for a new project later on down the line. But I think I want to try sci-fi.
That's cool. You can put some quirk twists in sci-fi and maybe create a whole new subgenre.
That'd be very cool.
Steven, question?
Well, we can go on to Digest, 10 Short Stories by Convicted and Plausible People Eaters. How is that different from Pizza Crows?
So it turned out to be darker. A lot of the stories are a lot more bleak. And it's not that I did that on purpose. It's just after I was done writing the 10 stories, I looked back and I read all the descriptions and I was like, wow, like I don't know if maybe I was in a bad mood or what was going on with me, but it turned out a little bit darker. With that being the case, I still think that the characters are better and I still think that it's a more solid book.
Some examples of stories.
There is Jesus Christ Meets the Chupacabra, which is a story of a Mexican dog that gets essentially abused, and he gets a disease that makes his skin kind of rot, and so he becomes what people think is a chupacabra. He becomes desperate for food, and he starts stealing it from orphans. And then he finds the power of Jesus Christ, which leads him to a better, more godly life.
That sounds interesting. I have this book on my Kindle, and I started reading the first story in it, and I wanted to have it done before the show tonight, but I didn't get a chance to because I had other stuff that I had to get done. But a cool style the way you write.
Thank you.
What are some of the other stories in there?
Well, I guess I'll talk about that one for sure. My Margaritaville, which came to be when I was literally just listening to the song Margaritaville over and over again, just because I think it's kind of catchy and it's iconic. But at one point I was in my bedroom just kind of humming it to myself and I was like, man, like, if you hum this song slowly enough, it sounds kind of creepy. And then I was like, oh, maybe I could turn this into, like, what if I took the lyrics and made it into a weird, dark short story? And so that's where Margaritaville came to be.
Yeah, I'm a Jimmy Buffett fan. I've got some of his music.
Great.
Yeah, I've got some of his music. It's summer music.
Oh, for sure.
Now, the cover, where did this come from?
This is the rows of teeth inside the mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one is, it was actually very last minute because I actually had a completely different cover in mind that I made before I even came up with any of the short stories. It was supposed to be this old Spanish painting of a Greek god eating another Greek god. And it's a really famous painting. I'm forgetting what it's called. But I had that idea. And then when it came down to actually posting it, I had this sudden urge to just try one more cover. And then I just found that mouse picture. And I looped it a couple times inside of itself. And I thought it had some kind of good meaning compared to what I was trying to say in the book, considering that it's the cannibals telling stories. It's almost like there's people within people. So I just kind of had this idea, and I left it up to a poll. I put it on my website. I said, which cover's better? And most people said the mouths.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely eye-catching. All right.
Jeez. Was the other one Saturn devouring his son?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm looking at it. Yeah, that's an interesting concept. Wow. Yeah, interesting.
So who painted that one, Stephen?
It's a good question. I'm not seeing.
Okay. All right. So, again, where did these stories come from, these ideas, you know, plausible people eaters? Kind of sounds like the old song Purple People Eaters. Where did this come from? I mean, is it like the Jeffrey Dahmer school, or is it just your imagination? What?
I'd say it's just my imagination in that I think the original concept came that I wanted to do a fake anthology series where each book was written by a different author. And I thought that it'd be cool if all the authors were from a certain, you know, sect of humanity. I just wasn't sure what sect that was going to be at first. And then, you know, I realized after, I think I was reading one of the Hannibal books when I realized how much I loved cannibals and how cool they were.
Don't we all?
I realized I want to do this.
Well, it's definitely, I'm guessing there's probably no other writer out there who's written short stories from the cannibals.
I hope
so. You
not.
Tapped into something unique, which is cool. I mean, as a writer, that's what you want to do. You want to, and that's, you know, that's a sign of a fertile imagination. And those are the writers with fertile imaginations, because there's a lot of writers who are decent storytellers, but they're not imaginative. And I think this one is one of the most unique ones I've ever heard of.
Well, thank you so much.
So, Beam, you want to run another commercial?
Why not?
I think this one would be for Strange Highway.
Strange Highway?
Yeah,
I think so.
If you ever find yourself on a strange highway, don't turn around. Don't panic. Just keep going. You never know what you'll find. Could be an autistic young man conjuring magic with his fingers. Or one girl's afternoon leading to a lifetime of loss. Demon or angel. A winged man revealing his true nature. A mother's recognition bringing closure to her daughter. Sudden death of a teen boy stifling burgeoning secrets. Black man's guitar transforming one young boy. Decades-old accident bringing a desperate confession. Supernatural first love healing a broken family. Head on down the strange highway and see more stories unfold. Need a ride? This book will get you there. Catch an e-book or get on the bus with a nice print edition you can hold and keep. Perhaps a full-sized trade paperback. Or ride in style with your own dust-jacketed hardcover. Fresh ink groups got you covered. You can exit the strange highway and come back anytime you want. You see, now you know the way in. Don't be a stranger.
Don't be a stranger. All right.
Listeners, we want to remind you, call in 516-453-9902. We've got Evan pinned down. He can't get away or go anywhere until you call in. Give us your questions and your comments. Also, over on Twitter, use hashtag FreshInkGroup in a tweet, and we will see it. We will mock it, make fun of it, and then probably just read it out loud.
Yeah. So what's next for Evan Whitmer? Book-wise, publishing-wise.
It's my next it's the next in this kind of odd fiction series. I call it How to Burn This Book. And after every short story is a fake critic essentially gives a reason why that short story should be burned. And, yeah, that's going to be the kind of plot device for this one.
Cool. Another
can you give
short
us some
story collection.
Give us some examples of stories.
Sure. So the one I'm working on right now is called 3 Days West. I was inspired by this genre movie called Acid Westerns. So it's going to be a Western with kind of a weird twist in that a man travels to a town next to his, 3 days next to his, and he discovers that all the people are acting out the same day, 3 days beforehand.
Huh.
Wow. That sounds interesting. Yeah, the short story genre, like the one the caller had asked about, long form. Are you still ever tempted to go back and do a novel?
Absolutely. I definitely have one in mind. I kind of touched on my love for Godzilla. I had one big complaint with the whole series of Godzilla, even the American ones. And it's that they focus too much on the humans and not enough about the monsters. And I had this idea maybe for a novel where it's from the perspective of the kaiju monster, where they all almost have millennial personalities. They're a little dry, a little hipster, and I just kind of explore these hipster kaiju hanging out in America.
That's cool. That's a twist. All right. So how about who are some of the authors that have inspired you?
So I think definitely the first one, and he was kind of like the first author that I really loved. You know, they always pump you full of options and English class through high school, but this one really stuck with me. That was Ray Bradbury.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Good stuff there.
Yeah, I just really, really like his writing. It's all really interesting. It's not exactly even like dark. It's all kind of just like, I don't know, it's almost sometimes like happier sci-fi. I mean, obviously Fahrenheit 451 is pretty bleak, but it even kind of has a happier ending where everyone kind of restarts the world with books, essentially.
Yeah, he likes to do it.
Go ahead.
I started to say he likes using devices with his short stories too, like The Illustrated Man, where the drifter sees the tattoos on the man come to life at night and tell stories. What a great idea.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And, yeah, you know, Ray is known for that macabre kind of stuff, you know, the evil comes to town in the circus and things like that too. But his memoir, Dandelion Wine, is just wonderful, about growing up. And much of it is from the perspective of a 12-year-old boy. Dandelion Wine is something that his grandfather used to make. And it's just beautiful, beautiful writing. So if you appreciate a good memoir with beautiful visual imagery, Dandelion Wine, definitely. Yeah, Ray Bradbury.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna have to listen to that. I didn't know about that.
Oh, Dandelion Wine. Yeah, I think he won awards for that.
Yeah,
just beautiful piece of work.
I'm thinking.
So you
mentioned.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. Yeah, I think he did win the award. He won some awards. I've got a copy of that, and I'm thinking there's something on the cover that.
So who else besides Ray Bradbury have you been reading over the years, Evan?
Oh, let's see. I think recently it was, who does Slaughterhouse-Five? I'm always forgetting.
Kurt Vonnegut.
Vonnegut.
Yeah, Kurt Vonnegut.
Junior.
Yeah. I'm a big fan. You know, he's a bit darker, so I definitely draw from that for sure.
Yeah. Go ahead, Steven.
I started to say Slaughterhouse-Five is an example where the movie was quite good. Often those kind of stories don't translate very well, but the Slaughterhouse-Five movie, I thoroughly enjoyed that. Not everybody did.
When was that?
Oh, I would guess late 90s, something like that. See if I can find out real quick here. But I highly recommended that. So who else besides Kurt Vonnegut and Ray Bradbury?
Let's see here. I'm trying to think who else has been really interesting to me. Cheryl Monks was kind of a newer one. She did this short story collection called Monsters in Appalachia. And that one was pretty interesting. It's not fantasy, but it's just like about really bad people. And I think it's really good.
Hmm. Kind of in Appalachia, kind of Daniel Woodrell, really bad people.
Meth
manufacturers, meth heads.
Barbara Kingsolver.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely Appalachia.
By the way,
Slaughterhouse-Five was 1972. It's been a while.
Yeah, I knew that was older one. But talking about that movie, going back to Ray Bradbury, there's one of the channel that's on Roku. They show all the old TV shows, and they have Ray Bradbury Theater on there. And that was his half hour, kind of like a Twilight Zone show. He comes out and introduces the story. He wrote most of the scripts, and I mean, just some stellar programs. A lot of those little twists at the end. And if you haven't ever seen that, this ran back in the 1980s. For three or four seasons. They're out there. Look for them. And they're like I said, they're quite interesting. We do have another question for you on Twitter. And this one's from partner and CDO, Chief Dogecoin Officer. Question for Evan. What are some themes or plot devices, e.g. cloning, that you don't want to write about and why? Good question.
That's a really good question. I need to think about this one. I think that I've kind of avoided doing any, I've kind of avoided doing anything without fantasy elements. And I guess that's not exactly a weakness, but I think that that's something that I kind of want to change eventually. Most of my premises are so bizarre that there's always something fantastical about them, but very often, real life can be kind of bizarre. So, you know, maybe something that I've kind of avoided up till now is kind of doing something that's, a realistic fiction, I'd say. And I think that, that's something I should really give a shot to eventually.
Yeah. Plausible reality. I think, that's what I like writing those twists, you know, but there's always a plausible reality there that something like this could really happen, or how people that are there witnessing it would understand it, how they would comprehend it, and, you know, kind of, I guess, how they would interpret it.
It's a good time to throw around the word verisimilitude, like we're literary icons up here talking about big stuff.
That's some fancy words there, buddy. What do you call me?
So, Evan, how do people find you? Websites, blogs, contact forms, Twitter handle, what your front of your house looks like?
I suppose that definitely check out my Twitter. It's at Fiction Odd. You can also find me on Facebook. That's the Odd Fiction page on Facebook. And then, of course, if you should subscribe to my website where I post tons of free short stories, and that is oddfiction.com.
Oddfiction.com.
Cool.
Got to bookmark that.
Yeah. You guys want to check out free short stories, there you go. You say you post down there each month?
Yeah, about each month, I'd say.
All right, cool.
All right, Evan, you got a favorite movie?
I got a favorite movie? Gosh, I don't know if this one, you guys are going to know this one. It's called The Greasy Strangler.
No, I don't know that.
Sounds
one.
Like one of those 80s B movies.
I think it was inspired by it. It's a little bit newer. Very weird. Very weird.
How about favorite TV show?
King of the Hill. King of the Hill.
Huh. Yeah, and I just saw that they're going to start
rebooting
that.
Yeah, and they're actually going to age the characters by 15 years.
Oh, my gosh. That's exciting.
So they're going to bypass The Simpsons, you know, with the staying young all the time and age the characters. All right, well, we're just about out of time, but we got time for one more question here. Do you have any advice for up-and-coming authors?
Absolutely. Definitely give it a shot. You know, I mean, there is nothing that should hold you back from doing some self-publishing. You'd be amazed at how much you're going to amaze yourself, how seriously you take it. And, you know, honestly, just go for it. Even if you just have kind of an inkling of idea, just try it out. I think it's amazing.
I like that. Cool. Good advice. And we'll do some shameless self-promotion, too, and say Fresh Ink Group is the writer's publisher. And if any of you out there looking to get into it and you want to talk about possibilities, contact us. We got a contact form at freshinkgroup.com. Or if you catch us at the Walmart in line, corner us, and we'll talk publishing all day.
Yeah. We do all kinds of stuff. We do the book trailers. We do audio books. We got this podcast. We'll get you out here and promote you. So.
Which is a good time to drop in a couple of more quick shameless promotions. Right now we're working on a couple of videos. We're putting together one about Ellie Collins's 3-book Greek mythology series, written when she was 11, 12, and 13 years old and aimed mostly at teenage girls. And we're putting together a video for that, so you'll hear the audio commercial in an upcoming show. We're also looking to have Ellie Collins come on and talk about these books. We're also working on a video trailer for a book called My Three Wishes by Hawaiian review dancer Kanoi Kei, whose book we're getting ready to publish in approximately a week or so. We got some audiobooks out there, the first two books in that Ellie Collins series. We've got Robert Willis Cross Icicle and now Robert Willis Cross Operation Icebreaker. And these audiobooks have music, sound effects. They're just about everything except scratch and sniff. So we encourage you to check those out. We've also got a bunch of books coming out over the next week or two. Gwen Plano's Letting Go Into Perfect Love. We're going to republish that with a new cover and some updates and revisions. We're waiting for me to finish the covers so we can publish Sassy Discovers the AME Church, which is aimed at children to learn about their church. We've got a series of short stories written by a guy who mostly wrote them while he was in prison called Crimes and the People Who Commit Them. We've got Robert Willis Cross, Mac McDowell series. The next one coming up, Operation Arctic Sting. And we've got a collection of 65 long quotes, like page-long quotes from famous women, inspiring women. And we just had all the artwork done for that, 65 caricatures, to do a full-color edition of that book, too. And that author is J. Ajluni, and we're going to have him on sometime in the next month or two also. So we got a lot of stuff in the works. And from what I hear, Evan's got a third short story collection in the work too. So we encourage everybody to keep coming back and check all this stuff out because we're all having fun and we hope you do too.
Definitely. And we are busy, as you can tell.
Definitely.
Okay. Well, Evan, it's been a true pleasure having you on, and thank you for taking a little bit of time out on your Wednesday evening to join us.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Thanks, Evan. And, again, listeners, if you want to get a hold of Evan and you can't find him any other way, use the contact form at freshinkgroup.com. We'll make sure we get you connected.
That's right. And thank you to all of our callers tonight. You guys helped make this show what we're trying to make it become. And thank you to all those on Twitter as well. Stephen, where can you find this?
Again, look for our old shows on the YouTube channel, Fresh Ink Group, or at freshinkgroup.com under the podcast tab, or each of your co-hosts on his own website, beamweeks.com or stephengees.com. Plus
Spotify.
Yeah.
Just go over to Spotify and type in Voice of Indy, all one word, and boom, guess what? They're all there.
Now, as I mentioned earlier, next week's guest is going to be author Bernard Fung. He has an extremely interesting backstory and a five-book series of memoir called The Harem Boys Saga. He was a child in China who wound up going to Saudi Arabia and living with a rich, wealthy Saudi Arabian family as a harem boy. And what that involves, that's something that maybe you'd want to call in and talk to Bernard about and see what kind of stories he's got about that. They are fascinating.
Yes, they are. I've spoken to him in the past. So if you guys want to tune in and call in and use Twitter. So we will see you all again next week. And thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thanks, Evan.
Thanks, guys.
You've been a part of Voice of Indy, a production of Fresh Ink Group. Spread the word, support our guests, then find us at freshinkgroup.com and be sure to hashtag Fresh Ink Group.